Well, hello again. I was going to say I have some announcements, but that was earlier. So if you all could arise as I read today's scripture for us. And in the Bibles in the chair in front of you, it's on page 1053. And if you do not have a Bible, feel free to take that one. So I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. You may be seated.
On the very few occasions that I have sat outdoors with nothing but the stars, the moon, and firelight, I am always struck by the dance of the flicker and the flames casting shadows all around. And the light of the flame illuminating the dark, but only partially and not always accurately. The shadows from the flames can create a movement in the dark, which can play with the imagination to create shapes and figures, animals and antagonists that aren't really there. This is why when out in the wilds, the waking of the sun is always welcome, because it casts away the dark, it gives clarity to what is real, what is actually surrounding you, and it allows you to see with a proper perspective. As a kid, I had a very active imagination, something that made every walk into my backyard an adventure, and it gave me the ability to sit down with a pile of Legos or G.I. Joe action figures for hours as I chased various storylines. Where this active imagination was not helpful was in the dark and the shadows of the night. Reoccurring nightmares would interrupt my sleep, and once awake, every shadow and shape took on a life of its own, threatening any part of me that was not covered by my blankets. Nightlights would soften the shade, but it didn't dissuade my imagination. It was only the rising sun, the breaking of dawn in all its glory, that cast back every shadow, illuminating the dark and showing what was true, what was real, and what was good. For many of us, the dark that shadows the corners of our lives has nothing to do with an active imagination. Rather, it is the real dark of a broken world that intrudes into our lives. It's cancer that casts a long shadow. It's a death that continues to hover like a fog, dampening the brightness of the sun. It's broken relationships that dim even the beauty of a lit Christmas tree. It's mistakes that, when dimly lit, cast shadows that flicker and grow to outsized proportions in our minds. Anxiety that spreads like dusk in our minds, causing everything to grow dark. And this morning, thanks to the literal fog that we have been experiencing, we have a newfound understanding of what days of fog and distorted and dim light can do to us. It makes us long for the sun as we see it shining even now, the burning orb full of brightness and beauty that brings warmth and hope and life. And this is the beauty and the brightness that we step into this morning in John 1, 9 through 13. Light, true light, has come. And this true light is available for all. And this light changes everything, no matter how dark your dark is, no matter how dim hope has become, and no matter what shade or shadows are taunting you in the corners of your mind. The light shines in all seasons, and by its light, we see things as they truly are meant to be seen. And in this light, we are made to shine. So as we begin to look at this passage, I just want to take a moment to pray over us and for us, that we would just hear what God has for us in these moments and pay attention to what he wants to illuminate in our lives. So Father, as we come before you, We thank you that you have sent light into the world, that Jesus has come that we may find life as it was designed and made, as you created us to be in relationship with you. And Lord, in this room, there's many who hold on to dark corners, things that are heavy and hard, things that we don't want to dwell on, and yet they command our attention in ways that pull us back or pull us down. And so, Father, in these moments, would you remind us that you call each and every one of us to find rest in you when we're weary, that you can handle our burdens and those things that are bearing down upon us. And so, Lord, where we need to see your light, would you allow it just to shine? Would we receive it? Would we believe it? Would we step into it? And this morning, would you help us to lift out of whatever fog we may be walking in right now, to see you more clearly, to find hope is still alive, and to trust that your light shines in each season of our life. Jesus, we love you, we need you, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we are continuing through this, these 18 verses that John begins with in his biographical account of Jesus' life, and we're just using these 18 verses to shape our walk towards Christmas and this day where we celebrate the arrival of the King. And even as we celebrate Advent, we recognize that we're in the tension of two Advents, that we know Jesus has come and that he also will come again. And we feel that tension and the brokenness and the darkness that we experience in our day-to-day life. And so we step into a section where John is really going to double down on what this light implies. And so we're just going to work our way through and go, what is this saying to us and what are the implications for us? So in verse 9, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." John uses here a word for true that's intentional. It's a word that means real or genuine. It's authentic. It's not artificial. The point that he's making is that the light by which all else is rightly seen has come. Okay, this true light, this not false, but this genuine light, when it shines, everything else is seen as it is meant to be seen. C.S. Lewis famously said it like this. He says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." You see, the coming of the true light illuminates everything as it was meant to be seen. There's a marked difference between holding up a flashlight in the dark and when the sun is shining down. The sun, this light and heat source, it casts aside every shade and shadow. It even pushes back the cold and the dark. And Jesus, the true light, does the same. We see the world properly when we see the world through his light. And what John is saying is that truth is found in Jesus. The true light has come, and truth is found in Jesus. True perspective, true foundation, true reality, true identity is found in Jesus. And notice what else he's saying here. As he continues on, he says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." But let's take that second part. The true light, which gives light to everyone. His light shines on all people. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." This was looking towards a day when the Messiah, the anointed one, would come and his light would shine on all people. And John is saying that true light has come, the one that the Israelites were longing for, looking towards, that the prophets spoke of over and over again. He is now here, and that light is illuminating everything and is shining on everyone. The invitation to step into this light is given to all. The implications of this is that he is available to all, meaning the light that has come is not exclusive. all have access to the light. Now, John has a whole lot more to say of how we respond to this light, but here he is reminding us that this light has come and it shines on everyone. Now, what we do with that, we'll look at in just a moment. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Here we have one of the great mysteries of God's goodness on display. The very one through whom all things were created, Jesus, creates all things, and now he steps into his creation. I just want you to imagine for a moment that Leonardo da Vinci is finishing up a painting. Maybe Monet is finishing up one of his water lilies. And as they're finishing that painting, they step back and they're staring at the canvas and they notice that there's something off in that image. And they go to grab their brush and they notice this dark patch, like that's just not right. And instead of taking the paintbrush and fixing things, instead they walk towards the canvas, they open it up and they step inside the painting. And they begin to move around and they begin to fix things from the inside. Right, we don't even have a category for what that would look like. Our brains break trying to think of it. And yet what this is saying is that the very creator of all things, the one who made all things, the one who spoke everything into existence, now steps into his creation. Stepping into the mess to fix what is broken. See, again, for centuries, God had sent so many voices along the way, so many people to proclaim this truth, to bring them back towards the ancient path, to go in the good way towards God that we are designed to live in. And people just ignored it. And so finally, in God's great love, he says, I'm sending my own son into the mess of humanity. This is what we see. Jesus, God in the flesh, steps into the darkness of humanity to shine his light that we may find life. What's crazy to me, though, is it says he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The world did not know him. The author of life went unrecognized in his own creation. This is like the ultimate episode of Undercover Boss, right? Jesus steps into his creation, but not to test his employees, but to show them the better way, to show them what's possible in and through him and right relationship with God, to live as we were meant to live, to bend the brokenness back towards beauty, to light our way. Verse 11 says, he came to his own. And his own people did not receive him. What John describes here in one sentence is what we see unfold throughout his biographical account of Jesus' life. The Jewish people who had long awaited for the Messiah, most of them were missing that he was standing right in front of them. They continue to reject the voice of God moving in their midst. And oftentimes we want to point fingers and be like, how did they miss it? It was so obvious he was right there. And yet with all that we have in front of us, still so many of us continue to reject or push back against the idea of who Jesus is, that light has come offering life. We wrestle with this idea. We're unsure of whether or not the reality of Christ is something we want to actually submit ourselves under or into. And we think, you know what? I have a better idea. I'm going to follow my own will, my own way. And this brings us right back to the garden where all this mess began at the rejection and rebellion against God. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. It's a little bit like coming home to find squatters who won't let you in. Jesus comes to earth that he created to find the door locked by the very ones who are there to welcome him in. And again, he's not surprised by this. This pattern has been playing out for centuries. Isaiah speaks to this in Isaiah 65. He says, I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places. What Isaiah is calling out is God has been pointing towards this path of life. He said, you're my people. I've given you the path in which to go, and yet you are settling for lesser things. You are chasing after false lights. Jeremiah 7 says, from that day your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. This pattern of rejection of God's design and pursuit is one that had taken place for centuries and again continues even now. Because we look to lesser things, more convenient things, easier things that don't have the lasting hold or power of the very Creator himself. But what I love in this grand narrative, this story that God is showing us throughout Scripture that points to Jesus, in this unified story that all brings us to him, is that God doesn't give up. Even after time and time again, he's rejected, pushed back on. He doesn't give up. He's undeterred. Jesus is undeterred. He doesn't just say, you know what? If you guys are going to act evil, I'm just going to overcome you with evil. No, he's like, I'm going to overcome you with good. You don't match darkness with more dark. Instead, the dark allows the light to shine even brighter, and shine Jesus did and does even still. And there's something so compelling to this for us. Because honestly, we're all drawn to the light like moths to a flame. And all of creation, all that he has made speaks to his brilliance and his goodness. There is a fundamental ache in our souls that can only be met by our Creator. And yet, we try so many other things along the way. We settle for so many other things along the way. But what we see is that all of creation is crying out to its Creator. Every sunrise, every synapse, every stretch mark, every sorrow, every sickness, every sweetness, all find their summation and solution in our Savior Jesus. It's all pointing towards him. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here, this shift happens. We're speaking over and over again of the rejection of humanity of God, but now he's telling us that this is where the beauty breaks through the brokenness. The light begins to lift the fog. The Savior casts away every shade and shadow. And to those who receive him, who believe in him, he gives them the right to become children of God. Now, there's a lot to unpack here. And so I want to break this down a little bit because the implications of this verse alone are immense and far-reaching. He begins by saying, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name. Now, to receive and believe means to entrust yourself to someone or something. I talk about this all the time, basic entrusting yourself to something. All of you, when you walk into this room, you are entrusting yourselves to something right now, right? You chose your chair and you trusted that when I sit down, this thing's going to hold me up, right? I believe that this will support me. That's what it means to entrust ourselves to something, to lay the full weight of who we are onto it, trusting that it will hold. And so when we say, I will receive and believe in the name of Jesus, what we're saying is I can entrust all of who I am, all of my concerns, all of my worries, all of my joys, all of my sorrows, every bit of who I am, I can place in his hands and I can trust that he can hold that. That he can mold that, he can shape that, that he can bring beauty from that brokenness, that light can shine into it and through it because of who he is. This is what it means to believe and receive in the name of Jesus. His light will shine in all seasons, and we trust that, and we entrust ourselves to that. Whether it be our joy, our sorrow, our apathy, our depression, our grief, our contentment, whatever we're wrestling through, what we are entrusting ourselves is, I may not feel at my best today, but I know that his light will continue to shine steady and secure. I can hold tight to that because it's not on me, it's on him. And he has done everything that I cannot do that I might have life in him. And so we entrust ourselves, we receive and we believe in the name of Jesus. And the beauty of this is that we are to trust in his name, not just to say Jesus. In the Hebrew culture, a name meant something. It wasn't just what we called somebody. It was who they are. It meant their character, their word, their actions. And so to believe in the name of Jesus, it meant to believe in the things that he did and the things that he said and his teachings, that they weren't just good suggestions, but that they were a way of life, that you would entrust yourself to them. It also means that your sin, sorrow, and shame met their match on the cross of Christ. And the darkness of those sin, sorrow, and shame no longer dim the doorways of your life, for his light shines forth, because in him is found freedom and forgiveness. And so when we entrust ourselves to Jesus, we are entrusting ourselves to the life, death, and resurrection of all that he has done. And we are saying that the debt that I owed that I could never pay on my own, he has paid in full, and now I can step forward in life, in freedom, forgiveness, light. This is what we are called into. But there's more, because not only are we free, not only are we entrusting ourselves to him, but notice what he says. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're given the right to be called children of God. Again, we're not only free, we're family. We're his and he's ours. Born not of blood, breath, and bone, but of the will and spirit of God. When we say yes to Jesus, he gives us the right, the authority, the power to be his children. He calls us his own. We are now co-heirs with Christ. And all that Jesus is entitled to, we are entitled to, because we are pulled in and given the right to be God's children. Again, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. What this means is that when we show up somewhere and someone says, "What are you doing here?" we can say, "Oh, I'm with him. I'm with God." And God's going, "Yep, send them through. They're mine. Right? I've got them. I've got them covered." I've shared this story one time before, but I think it's helpful in understanding the authority that we've been given. I was given the opportunity to go backstage at a concert. And it was backstage at a concert that I had no business being backstage at, because I had no authority in my own right. But I was given a badge, and that badge said I had backstage access. And so every checkpoint that I went to, the first thing that they would do is they would check to see if I had that badge, and then they'd let me go to the next place. If I lost that badge and I was like, "Hey, I'm Andrew," they'd be like, "I don't care. You don't have access here," right? That badge, it was the authority that I have. And the only reason I was given that badge was because somebody who was in the band gave me the authority to have that badge. And so because of their authority, I belonged backstage. And let me tell you, I felt so cool. So cool. I got to like walk the stage, walk behind the drums, see all the gear. And I was like, "Yeah, I could get used to this. You know, this is pretty good." But I had to fight feeling like an imposter the whole time, because I'm like, "What am I doing here?" And I had to look down and be like, no, I'm allowed to be here. This says I'm allowed to be here. And this is what John is telling us here, that when we entrust ourselves to Jesus, we have the right authority and power to be called children of God. And there are times we lose sight of that, don't we? Like, what would he want anything to do with me? Does he really know who I am? And we have to remember, no, I'm entrusting myself to him, and I'm not standing there on my own authority, but I am standing there by the badge and blood of Jesus that says I am his and he is mine, and I can trust in that. I can trust in that. This is what John is telling us here, that all who receive and believe in Jesus, all who step into his light, are given the power and the authority to be called sons and daughters of God. Again, when you say yes to Jesus, you are his and he is yours, meaning he is with you wherever you go and you have access to him wherever you are. Your family, your family. And the implications of this are pretty significant when you trail that out even further. Because some of us, our blood family has abandoned us. And we feel pretty alone. We've had some bad experiences where we feel isolated. Maybe we feel like we're the last of our lineage and there's no one left. Maybe you're at that retirement age and you've had the sorrow and yet also the privilege of being kind of one of the last standing, it feels like. And you're looking around going, where is my community? But when we say yes to Jesus, our family instantly grows. Actually, our family goes worldwide. And wherever you end up, you start to find brothers and sisters in Christ who can come alongside you and walk with you, reflecting the light that is shining on them of Jesus. And we can shine alongside each other, holding each other, even in the darkest of times. It's one of my favorite things to witness within our community. It's one of the things that I love to talk about when people are like, why should I like this church? And I instantly turn them around and point them to all of you. I'm like, it's the people and it's the way God uses the people here. It's the way they step into life with Jesus. It's the way they reflect him. It's the way they live that out amongst each other, because I have seen you show up in some very difficult times. I have seen you walk alongside those who are grieving and had no strength of their own, and you have been their strength. You did not abandon them. I've seen you show up and celebrate with those who felt like maybe they were celebrating something alone, but no longer did they have to, because they have the family of God coming around them. This is the beauty of when we entrust ourselves into Jesus, when we start to see life through the true light of the world, and we have the right to be his children, our family expands. And we have opportunity to love one another, to serve one another, to come alongside each other in a beautiful and profound way. So let me just summarize real quick what we've covered, because it's a lot in a little bit of space. What John is telling us is that Jesus is the true light. Jesus is the true light. Truth is found in him. Proper perspective and reality is seen through him. That's what he's showing us in this, that the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the incarnation. This is Jesus taking on flesh. This is him dwelling among us. Light has come. But it's also important that when he says true light has come into the world, what can we assume from that? That means that there's actually some lesser lights, some false lights that will try and distract us and deter us and pull us away from the true light. We need to seek the true light of who Jesus is. He also reminds us that his light shines on everyone. His light shines on everyone, meaning he is available to all. He is available to all. Now, some people hear this and you're instantly jumping to like, is this like a universalist approach? And like, we're all in and it's all good, because sometimes this can get confusing, but I think there's actually more clarity to it than we realize. Because Jesus is the most inclusive, exclusive invitation in the world. And what do I mean by that? All are invited into life in Christ. But life is only found in Christ. There is a way, there is a path, and he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. It only comes through him. But that invitation is open to all who will receive and believe. But many continue to push back and reject and say they want no part of that. I want no part of a God that's so exclusive. And yet when we step back and we see what John has been framing up for us this whole time, that we have a creator who steps into his creation to shine brightly that we may find life in him, it's revolutionary. So his light shines on everyone. Our response to that varies. He also tells us that the creator entered his creation. And what I love about this is that Jesus willingly took on flesh. He didn't see equality with God as something to be grasped or held onto. He took on flesh and he came and he leads us by serving us, by doing that which we could never do on our own. And he takes that to its fullest of the debt of death that we owed. He pays in full on the cross for us. He was obedient even to death on the cross. This is how he serves us. This is how he leads us. He doesn't lord that over us. He invites us into a pattern of life that we are designed for and made for in relationship to him. The Creator enters into his creation and he leads us by serving us. And then John reminds us that the world did not recognize him. His own did not receive him. Again, this is a good reminder that darkness distracts us. It dims our ability to see clearly. This is why we need to go to the light. This is why we need to go to the source of truth and mine it and stew on it and meditate on it and chew on it so that it shapes all of who we are. And then finally, all who believe in him are rightfully children of God. When you say yes to Jesus, when you entrust yourself to him, when you put all your weight on him, saying, I entrust myself to do what I could never do on my own, all who believe in him are his, and he is yours. But the question becomes, what does it look like when light begins to shine in the darkness of our lives, when we start to see the dawning of his light coming? What does it look like to have the truth of Jesus open our eyes to the real possibility of real life in him? And so to better see this, I actually want you to hear this and to bear witness to the true story of a life transformed by Jesus. And so right now what I want to do is I want to invite my friend and your friend, Victoria, to come on up, and she's going to share with us. She's going to bear witness. We can welcome her in. Yes. She's going to take a moment to bear witness to, I would say, all of what God's done, but we're going to get a sliver of what God has done in our life because there's a lot. But we're going to get to bear witness to what happens when light breaks through dark. So, Victoria, thank you for sharing with us. Get out of your way. Yep.
Well, as Pastor Andrew said, my name is Victoria, and I'm going to share a sliver of my testimony with all of you today. When Pastor Andrew contacted me to ask if I would share how Jesus plucked me out of such darkness and into his light, I immediately said yes with a chuckle. For the last 4 or 5 months, I've been in deep study regarding Jesus as the light, scouring over passages of the Bible and listening to as many teachings I could find about this topic. So not only was I thrilled that during this Advent season, our pastors are preaching about the light of Jesus, but also wasn't exactly surprised when Pastor Andrew asked me to share, given what I've been delving into lately. God is so good like that. I met Jesus when I was 4 years old in a basement of a Catholic church with my cousins making crosses out of popsicle sticks, singing, "Jesus loves me, yes, I know." I was filled with joy and I just loved him. But I did not grow up in the church because my parents were taught to fear God, and they didn't want me or my brother to experience that. They did teach us that God is love, but they didn't have a relationship with Jesus and allowed my brother and I to find our own path spiritually. Always a curious child, I had very big questions at a young age about all things spiritual, and eventually I was lured into the New Age movement when I was 15 years old. The New Age movement is characterized by the ESV Study Bible as a cult, which I would agree with. Its foundation holds a pantheistic worldview that states that divine revelation is found in all religious systems and all of them are true. In practice, New Agers take from any or all religious systems and beliefs and create their own religion. And that is based on the self, subjective truth, and secret knowledge. Jesus Christ is seen as a human, and he was able to tap into inherent divinity, and his main role was to teach others how to connect with a divine intelligence that is within all of us. Thus, we can become our own gods and manifest whatever we want. That sounds a lot like what the serpent said to Eve in the garden. And that's because it's the same playbook that the enemy uses to lure people into his kingdom of darkness through the New Age. It's clearly not really new, but is absolutely what Paul describes our adversary as masquerading as an angel of light, a counterfeit light. Over the course of the next 27 years of my life, I tried pretty much every modality, practice, ritual, ceremony, lifestyle, and cultural identity that the New Age had to offer in pursuit of truth and healing. I began to listen to classic rock, which led me to become enamored with the hippie culture and the concept of free love, which is a watered-down word used in place of fornication. I got involved in the feminist movement and social justice movements. I worshipped nature. I practiced crystal healing magic, tarot cards. I went to psychic readings of all kinds, divination through astrology and numerology. I started drinking alcohol, smoking weed. I later practiced yoga, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism. I went to meditation retreats. I used the law of attraction, and I devoured books about magic and the occult. In the last 12 years or so in the New Age, I went deep into indigenous practices and rituals using psychedelics, music, and chants, even going as far as mutilating my own skin as an offering to indigenous gods to answer my prayers. All of this to experience altered states of consciousness, to receive that secret knowledge of the counterfeit light and healing that eventually proved to be extremely dangerous to my health and psyche. I was left on the verge of psychosis 3 times participating in these practices. It is truly only through the grace of God that I'm still here with a sound mind. The New Age movement is a hamster wheel of works that promises truth and healing, but it never fulfills. So if one modality isn't working anymore, you can go to something else. And if that's not working, you can go on to the next thing. Always yearning for the next meal at the buffet table of Satan's New Age kitchen. It's just a roundabout circular way of staying in the same place that you were in when you began, but deceived into believing that you're making progress into truth and healing. When I was in the New Age, I was also very prideful and thought that I knew what other people didn't because I received secret knowledge and truth through all of these different modalities. I thought Christians were brainwashed and controlled by a fictitious God. Little did I know that I was the one who was deceived as I plunged myself deeper and deeper into the darkness where I placed myself on the altar of idolatry. In December of 2021, I got extremely sick for over a month with a combination of a sinus infection, an ear infection, and inflammation throughout my entire body after yet another round of marijuana addiction and drinking alcohol in excess. The sickness got so bad that I considered going to the emergency room when my eyes started to swell up and I could barely see out of it. Instead, I got on my knees and I prayed to the Creator to help me and made a promise that I would be sober for the next year. I was not intentionally praying to God, but more to the universal Creator of the New Age. But nonetheless, God heard me and took me up on my offer and then some. Over the course of the next year, he first pruned an unhealthy romantic relationship I was in. Then the indigenous group I'd been a part of for 12 years imploded. Next was a social justice group where he had me see that separating people by race and oppressor versus oppressed created in me bitterness instead of seeing people as image bearers of God or the Imago Dei. These were very significant losses, but they also led me to wanting to know why I was in these dynamics that were so toxic after so many years of getting enlightened in the New Age. So I began to listen to more conservative voices, those voices from the other side of the political spectrum that I was warned to never listen to. And that's when I began to hear about Jesus, not the man who came to teach us how to be our own gods, but the Son of God who came to shed his blood so I could have eternal life by picking up my cross and following him. Over that spring and summer, the light of the truth about abortion came forth, and I had a meltdown and a mind renewal. the light of the truth about the trans movement and the mutilation of our children came forth, and I had another meltdown and a mind renewal. This happened repeatedly about many things. Tears poured out of me as I grieved decades of believing lies and being deceived. Then Jesus started appearing to me in my mind as visions of him on the cross. Sometimes I would see from his vantage point looking down. Other times I would be looking up at him. But every time I was filled with such grief and sorrow that I literally could not stop crying. I remember times driving and this would happen and I'd have to pull over and just weep. Clearly he was pursuing me, and clearly he was exposing all the ways the enemy had me ensnared, whilst revealing that the authentic light of truth and healing is in him. I began listening to Bible stories on a Christian app, and something like my four-year-old self awakened as from a deep sleep, remembering Jesus, the true light, remembering the song I sang about how he loves me, remembering making the cross out of popsicle sticks with my cousins, all of us smiling and loving him. The true light was reignited in my heart as I allowed him to make his way back into it, softening the pride, the hardness, and the bitterness that took up residence there and giving me a heart of flesh. He replaced all of that with humility. He led me to Crossroads Church in early December of 2022, a full year since I had that horrible sickness. By then, it was just normal for me to be walking around with a roll of toilet paper because, quite honestly, a box of Kleenex just wasn't cutting it. I met Pastor Andrew after my first service, crying my eyes out, of course, and told him I had come out of the new age and wasn't sure where to land, but Jesus was the answer to everything I was seeking. He was so kind and prayed over me and introduced me to many people that day. I felt welcomed, and I knew I had a home here. I gave my life to Jesus soon after that, on December 15th, 2022, at 11:15 p.m., on my knees in my living room. His presence that night was very strong, and I saw him in my mind again, but this time, he was standing over me with his hand on my head, me kneeling at his feet. Then, like a flip book, he showed me all the ways I sinned in the new age. All the while, I was sobbing and repenting. And then, just like that, he wiped it all away. I have never cried like that before in my life. And yes, there was a massive wet spot on my shag carpet when I was done. He delivered me from all addictions that night, and I've never looked back to any new age thing, because why would I go back to the counterfeit when I can have the authentic? He's the true light. He's the one I had been seeking most of my life. My identity isn't wrapped up in some new age cultural practice. My identity is rooted as a daughter of the Most High King. Over the last 3 years, the light of Jesus has infiltrated every domain of my life. The absolute peace I experience in my mind truly does surpass all understanding. Even when life gets hard, I can lean on the light in my prayer time and in his word and feel his comfort. He's transformed my appetite for what I watch, what I listen to, and how I speak. He's healed an autoimmune condition I've had for years. And him and I are at the tail end of him healing a back issue. He's provided for me an amazing friend group whom I cherish and with whom I can geek out about Jesus for hours at my favorite cafe or our homes. He's provided extraordinary circumstances so that I was with both my parents when they came to Jesus. My mama, a few months after I came to Christ, and my father, this past February, with me by his bedside before he passed away a month later. As a therapist, he's witnessed to my clients through me, meeting them where they are, and him prompting me at the right time to share with them that the true healing, the true light, comes from Jesus. This has resulted in most of my clients coming to Jesus, a few who left the New Age as well. As far as evangelizing, he guided me to make a YouTube video of my entire testimony and sent the link to all my New Age friends and made it public for anyone to watch in hopes that it plants seeds of the gospel in fertile soil and edifies the body of Christ. I also pray for people in public when I see anyone in pain with their consent, which I haven't had anyone turn me down yet. And currently, I'm sharing my testimony in gospel, sparked by me reading books about Jesus in the sauna at my local gym. My relationship with him continues to deepen. I have an insatiable appetite for the word. I just can't get enough of Bible study at church or with myself. In my free time, I'm usually listening to sermons or Christian podcasts, listening to worship music or playing worship on my harp, or going to prayer walks with God. It's true, I'm completely obsessed with Jesus. The fervency and passion I once had for the kingdom of darkness in the New Age, God has rectified, redressed, and restored them to their proper place for advancing his kingdom of light. As I close, I'd like to share one of my favorite verses that I discovered over the course of these last months studying the light of Jesus. It is in the Old Testament. It's in Malachi, chapter 4, verse 2, in the Amplified Classic Translation. Thus says the Lord, "But for you who revere and worshipfully fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness," Son is capital S-U-N, "the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and his beams. And you shall go forth and gambol like calves released from the stall and leap for joy." May we all leap for joy, knowing that the true light of Jesus and his healing has come and is with us forever. Amen. Thank you so much.
He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is what's on display in the life of Victoria. This is the story that she bears witness to, that the true light has come into the world and it changes everything. What once felt impossible is now possible. No matter how entrenched you think you are in darkness, his light will overcome. So do not allow the shade and shadow to hold you back. Do not allow the darkness to win. And it's not by your strength that you overcome. It's by his. It's by who he is and what he has done. This is what John is pointing us to. This is what he's exclaiming before us, that truth is found in Jesus. If you've never experienced that, I would encourage you to jump in with both feet and seek Jesus. You can start with this gospel that we're reading through. Just continue to read through the gospel of John and allow the stories and the accounts of Jesus and the biography of all that he said and did to shape and form you and to stir you. He is available to all, even you. Okay, sometimes we hear that he's available to all and we think that's great for everybody else. And we put that out for everybody else, but we forget that he's come for each and every one of us, you included. No matter how far you think you are from him or the deeds or acts that you know of that nobody else has done, he cuts through that. He rips into the canvas of his creation and he comes for you. This is the beauty of the true light stepping into the world. And he leads us by serving, laying down his life that we might have life in him. We also have to remember, dark distracts us. It wants to pull us down. It wants to feel insurmountable. It wants to spiral us. It wants us to dwell there. And so when you find yourself dwelling in the darkness, when you feel as though I cannot overcome this hurdle, seek Jesus, allow his light to shine. And there's also times where we can seek him, but we also have to grab hold of the family that's around you and say, I need you to join in with me in this. This is heavy, and I need you to reflect the light of Christ into my life right now alongside me. So don't allow the darkness to distract you from the beauty of the true light. And remember that all who believe in him are his. When you say yes to Jesus and you entrust yourself to him, he has you and will hold you. He is with you. He is for you. And there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. The true light has come in Jesus. And we are made and we are designed to shine for his glory, not in shade or shadow, but as beautiful reflections of his grace in the midst of brokenness. For by his light, we rightly see all things. So allow the warmth of his light to heal you, to thaw your hardened heart. Step towards him, step toward his light, and believe that more is possible in him and through him and by him, because by his blood you are forgiven and free. So receive his goodness and believe. So as we close this morning, we're going to invite the worship team forward, and we're going to worship. We're going to sing a song that's just ripped from the pages of scriptures that speaks to who this wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace is, this true light that has come. And even right now, I just want to encourage you, would you stand with me? And as we turn our attention towards the true light to give adoration where adoration is due, I also don't want you to waste this time. There might be a conversation that God's having with you right now. He might be speaking to something, some shade or shadow in your life that you need to bring before him right now and just expose and say, Lord, would your light shine on this? Maybe it's the way that you're thinking right now, that you are all spun up in your own head and you just need the clarity of the truth of who Jesus is to stand on firmly. Maybe there's some shade and shadow that you're continuing to return to in your life that you just need to allow him to break you free from right now. And so I'd encourage you, just with open hands and open palms, just to come and receive his light. Allow his truth to shine upon you. But as we step into this time, just want to pray for us. Father, as we turn our attention towards you, we recognize that you are the true light, which has come and gives light to everyone. Lord, you are the hope of all humanity. You are the creator who steps into his creation and shows us, pioneers for us, the way that we may have life. And so, Lord, would you help us to receive that? For any who are fighting that truth, who are wondering, are you really real, would you show yourself to them? Father, would the testimony that we heard here ring true in their ears? That you can upend our lives in the best of ways. It's in this season that we celebrate your arrival, that you came, that unto us was born a child. To us a son was given, and the government was placed upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. In the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. In the same way that light has come into the world and shines forth forevermore. So, Lord, would you shine on us and would you shine in us? Would you heal us? Would you restore us? Where we need forgiveness, would we turn, would we repent and look to you and recognize that by your blood, we have the right, power, authority to be called your children. And we can rest in you, the true light of the world. Move in us, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, as we just rest in this moment of recognizing your goodness, your grandeur, Lord, would it not stay in this room? Would we carry it forward? Recognizing that when we are yours, you are with us wherever we are. And so would we pause throughout our days thanking you, praising you, worshiping you. There is no other name by which we are saved other than the name of Jesus. And Jesus, you tell us that you are the light of the world, that whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So help us, strengthen us to walk in your light, to not dwell in the darkness, not to sit in shade or shadow, but to seek you, the true light that has come. Jesus, we love you, and we pray all of these things in your name. Amen. 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 As we close this morning, I just want to encourage you, if you need prayer, we'll be here in front. Victoria, thank you again. Just a gift. The rest of you, just be ready at any moment. If you know, you get a phone call saying, hey, can you share your story? Because we need to hear more of that. We need to hear what God is doing, because he's working and he's moving. The true light has come in, and hope is alive in him. So wherever you find yourself this morning, may you recognize that he has done what you could never do on your own. That as you go forward, you don't go forward in your own strength, you go in his. And so may you walk in his light by his grace and his peace. God bless you. We'll see you next week.